Hi there, a very warm welcome on a warm weekend to the Racing Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wilders taking you through a bumper 11 race ITV card on Saturday. Plus we'll get all the rest of the weekend best bets. It's what they call Super Saturday. Some people think it's stupid Saturday because there's just too many big races going on and you can't take it all in, but I think we'll just embrace it. We'll get stuck in. We've got five on ITV from Newmarket, four from York, and two at Ascot. Let's do Newmarket first. We'll start with the 205, seven furlongs for the Bedford Lodge Hotel and Spa Fillies Handicap. These are best odds at the time of recording. 2-1 Kidwa, 5 Truly Acclaimed, 6 Golden Spice, 13-2 Miss Caroline, and 9 Bar. And by the way, if you want to get those best odds, you go on to racingpost.com or the new Racing Post app. You click the best odds button, and not only does it show you the best prices for all the major bookmakers, but also the place terms, because there are often different place terms. So well worth checking out. Right then, kick us off with a winner, David Jennings.
A very boring start from me, Bruce. I fancy Kidwa. Now, you kind of have to guess a bit with Kidwa because, you know, she was 2-9 to win that race at Redcar last time. And the second has kind of let the form down since. But like, she absolutely bolted up. She was in a completely different league to what she was running against there. First time out at Doncaster, she did kind of miss the break that day. And she did leave herself with a bit to do. But I thought she was quite impressive at the line that day. The form is okay. The third horse that day, Trois Valets, came out and won next time at Newcastle and is rated about 70. So the form is reasonably okay. I think 88 is fine to start in handicaps. And I'd say she's a nice filly. I know she's favourite, but I think she'll win.
Have you got any biggies for us today, by the way, DJ? Anything you really, really like?
I have won later on in one of the bigger races that was 16-1 all week. And I've told all my mates that this is a glorious 16-1 shot. It's going to go off single figures and it's still 16-1.
Good. All for that. You know what I hate on this show? My pet hate, and Robbie Wilders does it all the time. Oh, yeah, I backed this at 20-1 at the start of the week and it's now 5. So what? Robbie, who wins the first?
I think Miss Caroline is quite interesting. She's always been highly regarded by Roger Ver, and she won on her debut. And then she was sent off 9-4 favourite for a listed fillies race. Has turned out to be a bit of a guineas trial. She's not really shown much form this season, but I'm just wondering if dropping into a handicap and a much weaker race might help her out. She's about 13-2. And of course, she won her maiden at Newmarket on fast ground over 7 furlongs. So yeah, I think she could go well at about 13-2.
Could be. There are 8 currently declared, so hopefully they'll all stand the ground. You can either have an each way bet on Miss Caroline, who's Robbie's fancy, or a win bet on Kidwa, who's DJ's fancy. Let's move on now to the 240 at Newmarket. It's the Bet365 mile handicap for 3-year-olds and one of many very competitive races today. 3-1 shot as favourite is Bay of Honour, and then it's 6 La Soudoude, 7 Jimi Hendrix, and 10 Bar, and Robbie's going to go first.
Yeah, I mean, of all the days in the calendar, I think this is one where you really do have to pick your battles. And this is not a battle I want to be a part of, Bruce, so I'll pass it over to DJ.
Go on, DJ.
It is tricky. As regards prices, like, you look at Bay of Honour and you see the price Bay of Honour is, and you see that Bay of Honour has beaten Positive Impact by a short head. And you kind of say to yourself, Jesus, that's a bit mad, the difference in price between those two. Obviously, there's a different weight concession here. But you could argue that Positive Impact is a little bit of value. But the one that I like is Jimi Hendrix, who I thought ran quite well at Royal Ascot and did well to finish as close as he did because he was quite keen in the early stages. He did miraculously well to win the time before at Haydock. The third horse that day has ran well since. The form is quite strong. Now, when you get beaten and you go up £5, it's a little bit harsh. But I do think that was a good race at Ascot. I think he's a good horse and I think he's improving. So, tentative vote for Jimi Hendrix for me.
Have you ever seen, DJ, Jimi Hendrix playing the guitar?
Yeah, unbelievable, yeah.
You have seen it, yeah? I mean, yeah, he could play it with his teeth and everything and behind his head. He was just unbelievable. Absolutely incredible guy. If you've never seen anything of Jimi Hendrix, you've got to go back. I mean, what a mad, mad story. Total legend. Right then, let's move on now to the 315 at Newmarket, which is the Bet365 Superlative Stakes. Group 2 for 2-year-olds over 7 furlongs. Victory Dance is the favourite at 13-8, and then it's 2-1 Line of War, 4 Isaac Shelby, 15-2 Dark 30, and then 33-1 Outsider for a Laugh. DJ, I thought this Fab Victory dance was a little bit on the short side. He didn't convince me on the debut. Did he convince you?
No, it was a funny sort of a race, wasn't it? Like, he looked like he was going to win easily. Then he looked like he was definitely going to get beaten. And then it's that camera angle on the July course at Newmarket. It's so frustrating over the years. You think, like, you honestly, on the far side, have to be at least a length in front, 10 yards from the line, visually on the camera to get up at all. And Victory Dance got back up. But it did look like your typical kind of, you know, a horse that was going to improve drastically from first to second start. I thought from what he did, kind of from the 200 yards from the line to the line, was his most impressive part. I'd say the second horse, Bresson, I'd say is quite a nice horse. And I know they think a bit of the fourth as well, Animate. So I'd say he's probably better than visually he looked on the day. I can see arguments for people saying he's way too short, and they are very valid. But I do think he's the most likely winner. I won't be backing him. He's potentially one to put in multiples, but I'd say he is a very nice horse, Bruce.
Okay, we'll see what Robbie makes of Victory Dance. Lay or play?
Yeah, I think Lay. I think he's a little bit short. I mean, punters are going to be looking at the fact that Charlie Appleby has won three of the last four with horses who won on their debuts. And, of course, Victory Dance did that. But, I mean, the horses who have won this race recently for Appleby, Native Trail, Master of the Seas, Corto, I thought they all showed much more speed on their debut, whereas this horse looked like he already needed potentially a bit further than the 7 furlongs. I want to take him on for that reason. And at big price, I quite like Isaac Shelby. He's not a big price. He's a bigger price. But, he looked really good in this debut for Brian Meehan. He's won a good Newbury novice by 3.5 lengths. The third and eighth have come out and won since. And it was running in a much quicker time than the second division of the race. And that was won by Sydney Arms Chelsea, who ran really well at Royal Ascot next time. I just think he's a little bit underestimating the betting here. So Isaac Shelby for me.
I was looking through Isaac Shelby thinking, I'm sure there isn't a Peaky Blinder called Isaac. And I've just Googled him.
I was thinking apparently, the same thing, mate. It was
do you know what Isaac Shelby was? He was the governor of Kentucky. Yeah, it's brilliant, exactly. Isn't it? All right, fair enough. No flies on you. Right then, let's move on to the 3:15. We'll stick with you, Robbie, first up for your inspired guess on the Bet365 Bunbury Cup, a 20-runner, 7-furlong handicap. It's 5-1 the field. Montasibi's Fav, and then it's Sambrew at 6s, 8 Jumbie, 10 Vafortino, and 12 Bar. This looks very tough to me. Does it look tough to you, Rob?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to anyone, isn't it? Do you know what? I was having a good look at this race, and I was getting excited about Lord Rapscallion being a 25-1 shot, but then I remembered, hang on a minute, he's running today. So I doubt he's going to run. I think for that reason, I'm going to go for Sambrew. I know double-figure draws have won 8 of the last 10, but it's quite hard to predict where they're going to go. I'm going to just stick with this horse because he's £8 well in on his close sixth in the Jersey Stakes last time. He's unbeaten before that. He's got a Group 2 entry at York, and he's running here off 97. His last two starts, he's run 2 RPRs in the low to mid 100s. I'm surprised he's not slightly shorter, actually, Sambrew, so he's the one for me.
TJ, I wonder what Paul Keely will make of this, because there's loads of his old favourites here. Bless him, he always tips. He always tips Accidental Agent. He loves ropey guests. There's some good old sorts in here and some up-and-comers. Which side do you lean on?
Oh, King Rafe, Bruce. King Rafe.
Oh, good man. King Rafe, come on.
Yeah, now, I know producer Sam is a big fan of this horse as well and has his eye on this horse for Goodwood. But Star of Orion, if you get a chance, I put this horse up as my biggest eye catcher from Royal Ascot. He finished 13th in the Buckingham Palace Stakes, and I know you can say, like, how on earth could a horse be really unlucky when it finishes 13th? But just go back and watch it. It was incredible how many gaps Rob Hornby actually went for and didn't get. And immediately after that race, I said I would love to see this horse going for the Bunbury Cup at Newmarket on the July course, because he won at this meeting last year. He won a 7-furlong handicap. And he won it off 94, but he produced an RPR of 105. He's run off 98 now, which is the same mark he ran against at Ascot. Now, they absolutely punted the brains off him in the lead up to the race. He was 25-1 about a couple of hours before the race. He was still 18s and 16s about 5 minutes before the race. He went off 10s. And if the race had been 5 minutes later, he would have went off about 6-4. It was unbelievable how strong the support was in the market. I'd say they've just got him back right now. I think 98 is okay for him. And if the gap's open, like, he's one of these, you have to watch the race nearly behind the couch. It's hard to watch. But I think Star of Orion has got a massive chance.
Brilliant. Were you working on Irish Derby Day? Did you get the chance to give King Rafe a pat on the back?
I did, yeah, yeah. I was delighted. My buddy, my favourite jockey in the world, Colin Keane, got his first Irish Derby, and Rafe was in great form. He's a really good speaker. Like, he really thinks about every word he says.
Doesn't he? Whenever he's on luck on Sunday, you're right. He kind of nickel bowling something quite short pitch, and you have a good old think about it. But what a trainer King Rafe is. Right then, the big race of the day takes place at 4:25 at Newmarket. What a cracker! 14 go to post for the Darley July Cup. Oh, it's a Group 1 over 6 furlongs. Perfect Power is the 5-2 favourite. It's 4 Artorias, the Australian Raider. 11-2 Creative Force. 13-2 Native Crown. 10 Flaming Rib. And 16 Bar Extra Place New Skybet 5 places. Various others 4. Do shop around because 1 or 2 are only 3 as things stand. In the morning, some bookmakers might be even bolder and go extra places. But what a race this is, DJ. Who do you fancy?
I don't think what a race this is at all, Bruce. I think this is a poor race where there's a blatantly obvious winner in Perfect Power. I think the older sprinters are pretty moderate, to be honest with you. I think they're all much of a muchness. They're okay. There's nothing spectacular amongst them. Obviously, there's not much between Naval Crown and Creative Force. And both will probably run well. I think Arturius, I don't know if this track is going to suit, and I don't know how he's going to, if he runs the same way he did at Ascot in the Platinum Jubilee, I don't see how he's going to get himself into a challenging position at the right time. He's obviously quirky. He's got loads of ability. But for me, it's just all about Perfect Power. I thought he did remarkably well to win the Commonwealth Cup. He was drawn in stall one, and for the first two furlongs of the race, Christophe Soumillon was not happy. I think he went out to about sixes on Betfair. And he was well on top of the line. To me, he looked like a horse that was just really getting going. He's the best three-year-old sprinter, I think, by a considerable margin. And I think that makes him the best sprinter in this race by a considerable margin. There's some 5-2 available as favourites go. I think that's a hell of a price.
Oh, interesting. Well, I tell you what, Robbie, I tried to give that the big G up that race, and then DJ just got a big bucket of water and poured it all over my enthusiasm. He says, poor, the favourite will win. But could be right about the Perfect Power. If he hadn't gone for the guineas, he'd be even shorter, wouldn't he? Because he'd have a stack of ones against his name. Are you with the favourite, or are you going to look elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not with him because I just don't really like taking short prices in sprints. They're always big fields. A lot can go wrong. But I get what DJ's saying. Yeah, I mean, the three-year-old sprinters do look good, and he is the best of them all. But I'd always like to look for one at a price in a race like this, and Romantic Proposal is quite interesting at a standout 16s. Yeah, backed her at Royal Ascot, but she didn't turn up there. I'm not exactly sure why. If she did have a hold up, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But if this has been the plan, she'd be very interesting. I just think that, you know, she maybe really
did. She had a little setback. I think either she scoped wrong, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and I think it took her a week to get over it, and that was the reason she missed Ascot. But it's nothing serious at all. Mark Boylan did a piece with Eddie Lynham in the paper this week, so I wouldn't be worried about that at all, Robbie.
Oh, okay, thanks, mate. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Thinly veiled, read the paper, as always.
Oh, I was on a first aid course.
Read the paper, Robbie.
I've been focusing on saving lives this week.
That is true. To be fair to Robbie, he and the Essex Edge, his colleague, have been on a first aid course this week, which is more important because old people like me and Paul Keeley, we could be in the office and keel over one day. So
a first aid course or a first aid course?
First aid. Oh, Robbie doesn't need first aid.
He doesn't need first aid courses.
He holds first date courses. But anyway, back to the aptly named Romantic Proposal.
Yeah, nicely tied in, mate. Yeah, I just think this kind of test is going to really suit her. I mean, she won the Flying Five last season off a strong pace. I think 6 furlongs on a kind of speedy track on fast ground is just about optimum. And she looked really impressive on a seasonal return. So I think at a price, I could see her certainly hitting the frame, and there's decent place terms on offer. So, yeah, Romantic Proposal for me.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, gents. Let's turn our attention to York in just a jiffy.
Racing Post Live with Betfair. This Saturday at 1:30, join Dave Orton, Natalie Green, Graham Robway and Betfair's Barry Orr for an action-packed show. Racing this weekend comes from the July course at Newmarket, Ascot and York. There'll be live reactions to the racing, live trades on the Betfair Exchange and some fun and entertainment along the way. That's Racing Post Live this Saturday at 1:30. Subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing. Racing Post Live.
Welcome back. It's the Postcast with Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Robbie Wild, as we've done Newmarket's five Saturday ITV races. Let's do York's four. And they start with the 145 over a mile for the John Smith's Racing Handicap. Goodness me, boys. I mean, I know you love doing the Postcast, but when you saw the lineup and you saw the fields, there's a lot of studying involved here, isn't there? This is tough. 10 runners go to post, but it's 4-1 the field. And that is Isla Kai is the favourite. And then at fives, we've got Blue For You, 11-2, Island Dub, 7 Young Fire, 10 Chalet, 12 Blenheim Boy, and Tamani and Via Serendipity, and his 14 Bar. Fancy one here, Rob?
Yeah, it's quite an overwhelming day overall, isn't it? I mean, tentatively kind of like Blue For You for David O'Mara. I just think this trainer is really good when he's had a horse for a few runs. This horse showed quite a little bit of form for Dermot World last season, and showed literally nothing on his debut at Beverly for O'Mara, but just out of nowhere, really bounced back and nearly landed a quite decent handicap at Sandown. He's up a pound for that. I think he'll go well again, but yeah, it's tough.
Not a confident shout for Blue For You. How do you see this race unfolding, David Jennings?
Yeah, tricky, Bruce. I thought Isla Kay was the right favourite. Like, it's very hard to do what Isla Kay tried to do in the Royal Hunt Cup and, you know, be up there throughout and try and win. And, like, he led a lot of the way. He was still in front just approaching the final furlong. He was only beaten four lengths by Dark Shift. Like, it was a good run. It is hard to win the way he runs, but he's drawn in stall one here. And you just look through the list of horses that could potentially beat him. And I don't think they're up to that much. I think he can run to in around 100. And if he doesn't get pestered for the lead, I think it could be an all-the-way win for Isla Kay. Like, the value is not there, and he's, you know, he's 4-1. He's probably the price he should be, but it's one of these situations where if all the horses were the same price, I'd definitely be back at Isla Kay.
Okay. Right, now then, with all these big running fields the boys have had to tackle today, you'd think the 220 at York would provide some blessed relief. There's only three runners. It's the John Smith Silver Cup, a group three over 1 mile and six, but it's tricky. It's 11-10 without a fight. Two Thunderous, four John Leaper. And DJ, I'm glad I'm going to you first because you are the most loyal tipster in the world. And you've been banging on about John Leaper for ages. And the other day, he was lollopping along at the back of the field. And I thought, DJ's loyalty gets him into trouble. And then all of a sudden, he took off, didn't he? Absolutely took off. And he didn't quite get there behind without a fight, but it was an eye-catching run. Was it enough to make you lulled back in for another go on John Leaper? He's outside of the three. Are you going to go with John Leaper or one of the other two?
I'm going to go for one of the other two. I'm going to go for Thunderous. With John Leaper, it's in my head now, and this is just me thinking up daft stuff, it's in my head now that they have got the Ebor in mind for John Leaper. It's just in my head, and I can't get it out of it. And I'm wondering, do they know they need to be rated somewhere between 105 and 107 to have a really good chance in the Ebor? Because if a John Leaper, who we thought we had last year, shows up in an Ebor, he could have 8 to 10 pounds in hand. He's just a very frustrating horse. But maybe something like the Ebor might see him at his very best. And I just wonder, is this a stepping stone for that? With Thunderous, I just think you know what you're going to get. That's the main reason. I think he's going to lead. You know, that run behind Stradivarius is strong form. He's not going to get pestered. He's going to be able to do his own thing. And I just wonder, is it just going to be this kind of typical Mark Johnson out in front? You know, Franny will start stepping it up from the turn into the straight. And I just don't think they're going to get to him. So Thunderous for me. But I'll be watching John Leaper intently with a view to the Ebor.
He's 20-1 for the Ebor right now. Righty-ho. Robbie, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, that's quite a nice shout about John Leaper and the Ebor. Yeah, I think Thunderous is going to have it all his own way, like DJ touched upon as well. I hope Franny Norton goes hard. If he does, then I don't think without a fight will stay. I think he won over 1 mile 6 here over course and distance last time, but that was more of a test of speed rather than stamina over the trip. We know Thunderous gets a little bit further. If he goes hard, I expect without a fight and John Leaper to really struggle, but it's going to be key. I think Franny Norton's going to have a big say in this, but I think Thunderous will have just about enough. And the fact that a couple of starts ago he almost beat Stradivarius over 1 mile 6 in the Yorkshire Cup, that'll do for me.
Okay, gotta get your thinking caps back on for the 405 at York. It's the John Smith's Cup handicap over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs, 22 runners, 6-1 the field. The favourite is Marajan, and then it's 13-2 Rogue Bear, 9 Intelligent. 10 and Matt, 12 Brilliant Light and Caradoc, 14 Bar. Take it away, Robbie.
Yeah, it's another one of these tough races, isn't it? But you are getting up to seven places, and I really struggled to see Rogue Bear finishing out the first seven. I mean, this horse just keeps improving. He's been unlucky not to land a couple of big handicaps this season. I mean, he was the major eye catcher in the Lincoln on his return. He came from miles back where it paid to be prominent. I mean, he's almost beaten Modern News in a handicap. That horse has come out and won at listed level since. And then I thought he was a little bit unlucky over the course and distance last time when he was beaten ahead by Bolin Joan, who won her next start. Yeah, he's up to 91. That's a career high mark, but he's very much improving and he's off 2 months off. That might have freshened him up a bit. Yeah, I'd be quite surprised he wasn't in the first six. So he looks the each way play for me.
Rogue Bear each way for Robbie with up to seven places. Who for you, DJ?
Oh, that's my big one, Bruce.
I've got him.
Drum roll, please. Actually, I just checked there. The last tiny bit of 16s is gone, but they're still freely available at 14 to 1. Just Fine, for me, is just everything I want in a John Smith's Cup horse. Like, people will look at his run at Royal Ascot in the Duke of Edinburgh and say, ah, look, he was sent off favour and he was very disappointing. He only finished 8. I really don't think he stays in a mile and a half. I think he needs a really strongly run mile and a quarter. Because if you actually go back to the Duke of Edinburgh, like, he was backed as though they thought he was really well handicapped off 94. And he travelled beautifully through the race. And just kind of around a 2-pole, Ryan Moore just didn't get the clearest of runs. And then when he did get out, I just think he didn't get home. And Ryan Moore accepted the situation quite early. I thought throughout the final furlong was kind of hands and heels. Candleford absolutely bolted up, 1 by 6 lengths. And there was nothing really to be gained by getting serious. I still think this is a seriously well-handicapped horse off a mark of even 96. Because for me, if you go through all his form, even when he beat Barnowell at Sandown last time, it was what he did from the kind of 2-furlong pole to the 1-furlong pole. It was the turn of foot that really won the race for him. And each time he's tried a mile and a half, I've just been like, he doesn't stay, lads. He really doesn't stay. I think Sir Michael Stout has had this race in mind. I know he did run at Ascot, but this is a really valuable pot. He's drawn a 12, which is fine. Richard King's coat was booked very early in the week, obviously, with Ryan on duty at Newmarket. I could be wrong, but this is his trip. The way the race is going to be run is really going to suit him. And I think York will really suit him as well. Like, he did run at York over a mile and a half when he was third to Gassy at the May meeting. And again, didn't get much luck in running. I thought it was a perfect trial for this race. And I hope he's going to prove me right, Bruce, that a mile and a quarter is just fine strip. I still think 14 to 1 is a big price. I'd be shocked if he went off a double figure price.
Brilliant. A DJ special there. Those ones, whenever you're like that, I can't not back them. Well played. 440 at York, the John Smith City Wall Stakes, handy as a listed race rather, over 5 furlongs. Winter Power is 5-2 favourite, and then it's 100-30 Royal Acclaim, 6 Corker and 7 Bar. We've got 10 runners here. Who's going to win it, DJ?
Like, loads of people are going to be fancying Corker, and I know Keels will probably put him up in the paper because Corker was, you know, so unlucky at Ascot. Like, holy God, it was a remarkable performance really in that race. What do they call it now? It's a weird name. The Palace of Holyrood House Stakes.
I made a massive mistake there, didn't I, by the way, on the show? I got taken to task there because I said you should know how to pronounce it because it's in Northern Ireland. Of course it's not. It's in Scotland.
Oh, that's right.
More on I am.
Right, yeah. Yeah. A big eye catcher there. How he managed to only get beaten 3.5 lengths is beyond me. But, you know, this is a different level of sprinter he's taken on here. And I kind of hate myself for this, but I think Winter Power will win. Like, she's just so good at York in this sort of company. Like, everything she does is at York. For some reason, she just doesn't repeat it anywhere else. But at York, she's absolutely dynamite. You know, she's a Nunthorpe winner running against a pretty moderate bunch of sprinters. You know, she really should win unless she's lost the plot altogether, Bruce.
But that recent form is just so bad, isn't it? I mean, since she won that, 10th of 13, 8th of 14, 8th of 10, 14th of 16. I mean, you know, I know it's horses for courses, but blimey, the form is desperate, isn't it?
I know.
All right, Winter Power for DJ. Who for you, Robbie?
Yeah, I think crucially, I mean, all those runs were in much lesser company. I mean, she's dipping from Group 1s into a listed race here. But, I mean, yeah, if she wasn't running at York, you'd be absolutely against her. But three runs at York on good ground, she's done RPRs of 119 twice and 114. I mean, if she runs within £10 of that, she's probably going to win quite easily. I mean, Corker, yeah, massive eye catcher in the Palace of Holyrood House. But he's running off level weights against a Group 1 winning four-year-old. He's only three. I think he's got it all to do. I think Winter Power's a good thing here. But, I mean, there's obviously that concern that she's not been herself lately and she might not have completely trained on Daughter of Bungle in the Jungle. But, I mean, just the return to York should be enough, I think.
Thank you, gents. More to come in 10 seconds.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Willington, Robbie Wilders, and David Jennings. Let's look at Ascot's two ITV races on Saturday, and then we'll get the boys' naps and any other horses they fancy this weekend. First up then, the 3 o'clock at Ascot, the Betfred Heritage Handicap, 20 runners, 5 furlongs, 8-1 Tab D, 9 Burning Cash, 10 Lovely Manor, 11 Zarzini, 14 Bar. You could easily be Burning Cash if you get too carried away on such a difficult day like this. So we'll see if this is a race for limited stakes or indeed one to leave alone. Sky Bet are offering 7 places, well worth noting. And Robbie, you can go first.
Yeah, this is a race for an each way bet, I think. Bond Chairman at about 14-1. He just loves this course and distance. I mean, he was fourth in the Windsor Castle last season, and he was fourth in that Palace of Holyrood House on his return we're talking about. He's run off 95 here, but he's only run 7 times. I think he might have a bit more improvement in him. And the fact that he's been entered in the Nunthorpe next month might be quite significant. I think he's going to run well at a decent price, and there should be a little bit more to come and improvement for a seasonal return.
Okay, that is Bond Chairman for Robbie. Who's he going to be for you, David?
Asher, this is a nightmare, isn't it? I'm going to chance Digital. I thought 25-1 was a big price. Didn't think he ran too badly last time at Newcastle. Was really keen in the early stages. Been dropped £2 for that. There is some strands of form that make him interesting here off his mark. And just thought the way the race was going to be run is going to suit him. And if he did just get into a nice position and get into a nice rhythm, I thought he might have a little bit of a chance. He's 25-1. It was one of these, Bruce, that, God, I thought he'd be maybe 12 or 14s. Was surprised when he was 25s. And it's really a price thing.
Fair enough. And finally on the ITV menu, the 3:35 at Ascot is the Fred Cowley MBE Memorial Summer Mile. It's a Group 2. And Chindit is 9-4 favourite from Modern News at 7-2, along with Muta Sarbeck, 5 My Oberon, 10 Perotto, 12 Tactical, 22 Best Lightning. Chindit's a horse I like very much. This is very much within his wheelhouse, DJ, isn't it?
Yeah. The problem
don't
is...
Don't stand too confident.
No, he's running against my strongest fancy of the day.
Okay, go on then. We'll have that. Yeah,
I am utterly convinced that Muta Sarbeck is a really good horse. I think he absolutely despised the track at Epsom from start to finish. Hated every single bit of it. And still was only beaten a length and a quarter due to his raw ability, I thought. And, you know, wasn't really that bad of a run at all. You know, Modern News was second. And Jim Crowley at no stage looked happy in the race. And even listening to him, he was actually on Luck on Sunday after Epsom. And he was talking about Hookham. I think that's why he was a guest on. And he was talking about Hookham. And it came to Muta Sarbeck. And he said, you didn't see the real Muta Sarbeck here. And he reiterated everything that I thought. I think we definitely haven't seen the best of him as a miler. He's an unexposed miler who I think could go pretty much nearly to the top. He's not a Group 1 horse, but he's definitely, in my mind, capable of winning a Group 1. I think he's going to prove it here. I think he's better than these. And I just can't wait to see the real Muta Sarbeck, because I think on his day, I think he could be a bit special. So Muta Sarbeck for me, Bruce.
Excellent. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, I like Muta Sarbeck as well. I mean, he should have won that Group 2 at Sandown behind Knights On. He just didn't get a run until too late. And like DJ says, he didn't seem to like Epsom that much. He was given a little bit too much to do there as well. I mean, Ascot is obviously a track that favours held up horses. So, yeah, I think he's going to go close. But I did think that Perotto was a bit too big at 10-1. I mean, his form ties in with Modern News and My Oberon, who are both less than half the price of them. And I thought he ran really well at Windsor last time. He switched to front-running tactics that day. That seemed to really suit this horse. And, you know, and draw a line for his comeback in the Wolfe and the Royal Ascot. I mean, 1 mile 2 didn't suit. Just the fact that he's won over a mile at Ascot before, I thought was quite interesting. And yeah, I think he's scoped to go off a bit shorter, but Mutasar Bet would definitely be the lightest winner, I think. I think Chindit might be better over a little bit further.
Rightio. Thank you very much, gents, for your TV thoughts. Before you give us your naps, let's see if there's anything else you fancy. There's a zillion meetings on Saturday. On Sunday, we've also got the Prix Jean Prat, a Group 1 in Deauville with some decent names involved in that. Let's see who we've got. Yeah, we've got Lucer, we've got Modern Games, we've got Tribus, we've got all sorts of good horses in that. So let's see what the boys fancy. Don't give your naps away. David Jennings.
Just one Bruce for me. But it's, again, I actually have a few very strong fancies on Saturday, so it's going to be... It's going to be an interesting day for me. I am convinced, I've said this before in the podcast, but I am convinced Inverness is a really good horse and one of the best handicapped horses in training. He was actually 33 to 1, the one price I can't say, 33 to 1 for the King George V Stakes at Royal Ascot. He finished 10th, but he was kept wide in the home straight by Kieran Schumacher and he kept ducking in, wanting to get inside. He wouldn't run in a straight line and it was infuriating to watch. And I'd say he's been infuriating for Charlie Hills to train as well, because I think Charlie Hills thinks quite a bit of him. I go back to his performance when he won that maiden at Goodwood last year. He beat Educator. That means he must be well handicapped here. And I actually thought he ran quite well at Epsom as well in the Derby trial. He runs here in a handicap.
At here a track, being the 225.
Yeah, the 225.
Ascot.
At Ascot, yeah, yeah. He runs here, but he's running against horses that I'd be staggered if he doesn't have more ability than. And it's just a case of trying to get that ability used in the right way and channel his energy in the right way, because he can be keen in the early stages, but he's got loads of ability. Like, them form figures don't do him justice at all. 6-1, 6-0. He's much better than that. Now, I thought he'd be a bigger price. He's opened up 3-1. The first firm that have priced up. And I was a bit disappointed because I thought he'd be about 13 to 2 or so. But it'll be interesting to see what price the rest of them open up at, because he'd be bigger than trees. But I'm convinced he's a good horse. And he's going to be one of my most interesting viewing races to watch on Saturday. 2:25 at Ascot, Inverness.
Thank you very much, David. What have you got for us, Robbie?
Just one Bruce on the Sunday in the pre-John Pratt 250 at Deauville. I'm going to give
John
10
Pratt, I reckon it is. You're a suave sort of guy, you know. Okay. I don't think the French pronounce P-R-A-T as Pratt.
I don't know why I've got into that habit. I'm normally...
Everyone calls it the John Pratt.
Yeah, it's lazy.
He used to play for Tottenham back in the 70s, John Pratt. But yeah, I think... True. Yeah, this is Jean Pratt probably, isn't
Jean
it?
Pratt. I think Tenebrism is worth another chance. I mean, a mile seems to stretch her. She did run well, actually, in the coronation behind Inspiro, who seems to be a bit of a freak, to be honest. She wasn't actually beaten far by the second, but I think 7 furlongs on pretty decent ground. There's not much rain forecast at Deauville. That should be spot on for her. And yeah, I think there should be a little bit more to come. I was a little bit disappointed by Modern Games last time, and he's dropping 3.5 furlongs in trip. I'm not too sure about that. So yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for Tenebrism to show just how good she really is.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen. Let's get your naps before we go.
This will not be beaten.
We'll start with you, Robbie Wilders.
The nap is 3.50 at Newmarket, Sam Baru, £8 well in, Group 2 entered. I think he's better than the handicapper.
Thanks, Rob. DJ?
Muta Sebek in the 3.35 at Ascot, please.
Excellent. Weekend plans, gents? What are you doing this weekend, DJ? You grafting away?
Aoife has about a week and a half left before we have our second child. So.
Oh, wow.
My weekend will involve not infuriating her, not getting out of her way as much as possible, trying to like do things before she has to ask me to do them. That's the main thing. It's like, why didn't you do the hoovering? Oh, sorry. Or, why did you not put out them clothes? Because yeah, the last few weeks are tough.
Well, good luck. If I don't speak to you before the baby's born, good luck, mate. I hope that goes well. Good luck with all your tips. Thanks very much for your input. Robbie, what about you, mate? You going to a barbecue or a trendy nightclub or something?
Yeah, congratulations, DJ, mate. Yeah, it's 2 weeks off for me now, so I'm quite excited.
You're off to Mykonos, aren't you?
Very much so, yeah, can't wait.
Do you want to do a bit of babysitting, Rob, no?
Sorry, mate?
What?
Do you want to do a bit of babysitting, no?
Nah, I'll be in Greece, mate, living it up. Yeah, looking forward to that. Looking to turn up a bit of base colour, and it's about 30 degrees, so I'll be getting out in the sun for sure. Bit of Wimbledon, bit of racing. Should be good fun. What about you, Bruce?
No, not too much, mate. Taking it nice and easy. Thank you very much for asking. But yes, no, looking forward to a brilliant day of racing, and hopefully we've whetted your appetite and giving you some decent bets there. Thank you very much to DJ. Thanks to Robbie. Thanks to producer Sam. Most of all, though, as ever, thank you for listening to another podcast. We're back on Monday reflecting on all the action and then back next Friday to look ahead to another fantastic weekend of racing. So do join us for that.